believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I hope everyone had a good day. Today is May 11th, 2009. It's an honor and privilege to be able to sit here with you today, your good morning. All right, a little bit of information. House Resolution 2296, the BATFE reform bill, was introduced in the U.S. House up on Capitol Hill. Let me read this little story to you. As we reported last week, the companion bill to S-941, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Reform and Firearms Modernization Act, was introduced by Senator Mike Capro of Idaho and Patrick Leahy of Vermont on April 30th. It was introduced in the House this last week. I guess it was 2 weeks ago it was in the Senate, last week in the House. Sponsored by Representatives Steve King of Iowa and Zach Space of Ohio, H.R. 2296 is bipartisan reform legislation that represents the culmination of efforts to address BATFE abuses and problems highlighted in several congressional oversight hearings in 2006. Wow, it's amazing how efficient they are. So there is a lot more information that you can find if you go to, I believe it's on the NRA website. They actually have the actual bill there. H.R. 2296 represents the latest efforts to pass legislation that would make it easier for gun owners and dealers to comply with federal law and regulations while ensuring that criminals are punished accordingly. That includes the guy that got busted for having his lending his AR-15 to his buddy. The gun got dirty, pulled a couple of doubles, and then this guy went off to prison. This would include the reform, so that sort of thing wouldn't happen. This is long overdue. BATF is something I've always referred to as Bureaucrats Against True Freedoms. That's what I think BATF stands for. Poll data shows that most Americans oppose new gun control. A little bit more information. Anyone who follows the news closely can tell that, despite with a majority of media's anti-gun and their talking heads, what they say, most Americans do not support more gun control. Faced with the new anti-gun administration, the economy, terrorism, gang violence, etc., gun and ammunition sales are soaring. And recent polling data once again prove that Americans value the Second Amendment and don't want more restrictive firearms laws on the books. So imagine that. What they're looking at is to actually get crime control, not gun control. Here's another tidbit. H.R. 2345 is aiming at registering gun owners and putting gun shows out of business. So here's some anti-gun news. On May 6th at a press conference, Paul Helmke, president of the Brady Campaign, U.S. Representative Michael Castle of Delaware, and Carolyn McCarthy, who runs on nothing but an anti-gun platform out of New York, introduced H.R. 2324, the Gun Show Loophole Closing Act. Masquerading as reform, H.R. 2324 would impose several bureaucratic restrictions aimed at shutting down gun shows. So there's the information, everything that was coming out of Capitol Hill late last week. A little bit more from the anti-gun crowd. What's going to be happening this week in Washington when we come back? What can you do about it? Same thing I can do about it. Write letters and make phone calls. Stick around. We'll let you know about the hypocrisy when we're back from the break. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's
out in the shoot, maybe a little too. So what we're going to do now is get your caffeine adrenaline done right here with a little vocal adrenaline. It comes out of Rahm Emanuel, who happens to be Obama's chief of staff. For those of you who are unaware, this is the way it works. You get a president in there. He gets to pick his chief of staff, the head staff member. But everybody else, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Homeland Defense, Secretary of Education, Transportation, blah, 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 all of them have to be approved by the Senate. But his chief of staff does not. That's in the name of Rahm Emanuel. Listen to, this is about 3 minutes long, some words that he had to say to the Brady campaign.
Now, what do we got to do? Because let's be, and Sarah's right, people's intimidation on this issue is not defined by just Republicans. There are Democrats intimidated by this issue. Wrongly, but intimidated, and they think their politics and their community is such that they can't do this. The truth is, what we need again to get moving on this legislation is put together a crime strategy like we had before, which is why we passed the bill today on the cops, putting money back into putting police officers on there, getting voices for change, and then making sure that we have a president, I cannot put my partisanship aside, a Democratic president, who will take that office and use it to protect the streets and the kids that grow up on those streets and make sure that we once again have an assault weapon ban, a Brady bill with the full force of the law on the land, because we need somebody in the Oval Office that moves this Congress. We had an election about change. People are clear about the special interests. They are tired of that gridlock the special interests cause in Washington. And I think the most simple thing we can do, and we've got to make this a number one issue as a test vote and then take it into the election, that is, if you are on the no-fly list because you are known as maybe a possible terrorist, you cannot buy a handgun.
Okay, I got to stop it there. He says if you're known as maybe a possible terrorist, listen to those words, known as maybe a possible terrorist. So if you may be possibly somebody that they don't want to have a gun, they'll put you on there so you're known that you can't buy a gun. All right, carrying on.
In America. And I am not one far from liking the mixing of politics and policy, but as my old boss used to say, give me that vote and throw me into that briar patch. I'll make politics out of that every day. Because if it's between that terrorist list, and the NRA, I know where America is going to be every time, and they're going to make the right choice, and we have got to start building on that. That is the right thing to take into the election, and it's the right policy. If you're on that no-fly list, your access to the right to bear arms is canceled because you're not part of the American family. You don't deserve that right. There is no right for you if you're on that terrorist list. That should be number one in what we do. Make sure there's a full force of the law behind the Brady Bill. So to all those who dedicate their lives to seeing sensible gun laws, remember, it's sensible gun laws, police on the beat, giving our kids an alternative to that street, and making sure that we have the drug laws so people, because those are the type of people who are most access to most violent types of crimes. Once the COPS program ended, once we let those gun laws bans expire, a 40% increase in homicide rate, a 35% increase in violent crimes with handguns. We left what we knew was working because of ideology and special interests. We have got to get back to what's right to lead the way forward. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Okay, lovely speech from Rahm Emanuel, quoting all of those statistics towards the end, which are totally false. And here, one of the things that they love to do with these that I have seen several times with this whole deal is when people commit suicide, when it serves the anti-gunners, the people that commit suicide do not end up on the list until something like a gun ban sunsets. Then suicides get added to the list when before they weren't on there. So you can see that increase right there through those lies. Here's the deal. He's talking about this gun measure that to get more police on the streets and really solidify the police, right? Here's some news out of Toledo. Toledo mayor tells the residents police cannot protect them. All right, listen to this. When word of a significant cut to the Toledo police force first came out, one senior police officer issued the following recommendations to city residents. Buy guns. Invest in these precious metals. Lead, gunpowder, and brass. And now, Mayor, Cardi Finkbeiner, what a lovely name, Cardi Finkbeiner, is admitting the reason why is because of this good advice. Violent crime shootings are not ever prevented by the presence of police officers, no matter how many thousands of police officers you have. Saturday, May 2nd, marked the first full day since 75 police officers turned in their badges and guns, according to the Toledo Blade news source. Word of the significant cuts in the Toledo police force is on the street. There ain't a side of Toledo you can go where they do not know the police are going to be laid off, one resident is quoted as saying. Okay, here's from the story. The crime rate is going to go up, predicted Jeff DeVault, 46, who described his home as straddling a buffer between West Toledo's tranquil Ottawa Park and a more rough-and-tumble neighborhood. We are very concerned about 75 police officers being laid off. And here's another quote. Now, there ain't going to be no constraints for the gangs, said Asian Andrews, 49, of North Toledo. Good grammar, by the way, Asian Andrews. Who said it's already dangerous enough living in one's house in his neighborhood at night. Quote, these gangs will be recruiting, and it's going to be up to the parents now to know where their children is at all times. Know where their children is at all times. Where their children am being at all times, foe, maybe? I don't know. The grammar here is a little screwy. It's now time for the parents to know where the children's is at all times? Now? I think it's always been the parents' job. What do you think these 75 cops that got laid off were supposed to do it? Here's what happened, guys. Toledo, Ohio is in such a huge budget shortfall. They actually had to budget to lay off 150 cops. Somehow or another, they were able to get away with doing just 75 for the moment with some temporary reprieve and shifting of money. However, the other 75 are not necessarily out of the woods. So here's what usually happens. In poor economic times, the one place where you can always guarantee they're going to be hiring and hiring and hiring are law enforcement jobs. Here in Toledo, they're cutting them. So the economy is going down, crime is going up, and the cops are actually being laid off. Because of budget constraints, budget problems. You know, there's two places where I think budget should not be cut. One of them is education. First and foremost, there absolutely should not be any cuts in education. Should there be reform in the spending occasionally? Well, certainly. Because if there's waste, waste sucks. Get that back into where it's positive. Within Toledo, Ohio, the other place I don't think should be cut is law enforcement. Now, if law enforcement's having trouble, they need to tighten their belts in other areas, see where the money is going, which is actually what happened, which is why they only had to lay off 75 cops instead of 150 cops. But the writing is generally on the wall for these sorts of things. How did this go on? Okay, continue. However, the reduction and the number of layoffs from 150 to 75 police officers eliminated an earlier, more fearful scenario of fewer officers patrolling city streets. Toledo will be able to keep its SWAT team and gang task force. Well, that's good. My number of street officers will be at or near what it was prior to these layoffs, Chief Narva said. But those words of assurance are not fully reassuring to all. For Janet Allen, shopkeeper at Community Variety Store in Ashland Avenue near downtown, fewer police are fewer police. Wow, what a wonderful statement that is. I think we're going to have more break-ins, Miss Allen said. Imagine that. Less cops, and the bad guys know about it. So what do you think they're going to do? They're going to have a little bit of a heyday. So that's what I liked about the statement earlier about buy precious metals, guns, gunpowder, and brass. Here's the actual numbers. According to the story, before the pink slips, Toledo's force had 616 officers, equal to 2.1 officers per 1,000 residents. Now, there are fewer than 2 officers per 1,000 residents after the layoffs, and fewer than Akron, Ohio, which had 2.2, Youngstown, which is 2.5, Columbus at 2.5, Daytona at 2.6, Cincinnati at 3.4, and Cleveland, Ohio at 3.7. In Detroit, which is a pretty high crime city, there's 3.3 per 1,000. Now there's less than 2.0 in Toledo. 616 officers, 75 were released, potentially another 75. Percentage-wise, that's huge. That's really big. 75 officers? That's like, wow, I don't know. That's quite a bit. The percentage-wise, that's got to be about 20% nearly, almost 20%. Yeah, that's a lot. That's rough. That is not a good deal at all. I'm sorry, not 20%. That's about 12-13%. The mayor has failed at the bargaining table and refused to meet with city council, even when opposed with a plan to create $3.9 million to avoid the layoffs. So there's a lot of political jargoning. Unfortunately, 75 cops are laid off and out of work, and crime's going to go up because of political wrangling. These are the problems we're having. If you're in Toledo, you should be really ticked off. Stick around through the break. We'll be back.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, carrying on with all the anti-gun sentiment out of that audio piece from Rahm Emanuel, Senator Dianne Feinstein recently said she will pick the time and the place when she wants to bring back the failed Clinton gun ban. And she said she and President Obama will sign it. Great. Most of the media swept this under the rug, like always. But you can't deny it any longer, and there's no doubt about it. They're coming after every law-abiding gun owner in America. They want your name and personal information on a federal database. That's right. They want national registration of all firearms. Not because you're bad. The guns are bad. The guns are evil things. And when the guns get up in the middle of the night, or in the broad daylight of a sunny afternoon, and the guns do an evil thing, they're coming after you. If that gun does an evil thing, then the other guns just like it are going to be profiled and taken away. If someone uses the dreaded AK-47 for something other than a legitimate hunting purpose, even though that has nothing to do with the Second Amendment, they're going to want to take it, and every other one like it. Now, you know that profiling doesn't stack up in Washington, D.C. You're not allowed to profile. However, the DHS reports that have come out of there have done nothing but profile right-wing extremists. We've been profiled. In violation of the federal standards of profiling, we have all been profiled. A little story about that coming up later in the show. Continuing on with Feinstein. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi fully admitted her gun registration plan in an admission wrapped around outright untruths about the Second Amendment and our freedoms. When pressed about her goals for gun legislation on ABC's Good Morning America, this is what Pelosi said. The Supreme Court has ruled in a direction that gives more opportunity to have guns, which is actually not true. We never denied that right. Which is total BS. Look at the laws in Chicago. Look at the laws in California. Look at the laws in D.C. We don't want to take away any guns. Sure, that's why you passed a weapons ban in 94. We want them registered, and we have to rid the debate of the misconceptions that people have about what gun safety means, as if you have any idea. Gun owners are fully much more aware of gun safety than people like you and your ignorant rants. You know, when I hear Nancy Pelosi talk like this, I have this vision in my head. It's the following.
Shut up!
That's right, Nancy. Shut up. In a huge, hate-filled rage of hearing someone speak as ignorantly and stupidly as Nancy Pelosi does. She happens to be the Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives and will do whatever she can to further her gun control and registration to take away my guns and your guns and the other 6.8 million guns that were sold over the last few months. Why? Because it's about control. It's not about guns. They can't fully take over, fully do their socialist agendas while you and I own guns, because that means we're armed. So let's try to make a way that we can totally screw over the Second Amendment rights of everybody in America and get their guns. Let's start with registration. We can try to make it sound legitimate by lying to people. And my estimation, your butt goes to jail for fraud. How about that? Pelosi's idea of gun safety is to ban every gun, ban all kinds of ammunition, and some licensing scheme that has to come across the desk of ATF for them to regulate. She spent an entire congressional career voting to deny rights of lawful gun owners. An entire career. Not once voting yay for gun owners' rights. Not once. Now she's put out her congressional agenda. Coming soon, we want them all registered. They can't deny it. They don't deny the determination and might of the American lawful gun owners who don't want their names in some national government database just waiting to be abused by Second Amendment-hating bureaucrats. We've known for years who our enemies are within our own government. And guess what? Nancy Pelosi is one of their chief generals. American gun owners fully understand what gun registration leads to. So bring it on, Speaker Pelosi. We're ready. Supreme Court is with us, not you, not even you, Senator Feinstein, and you other gun-hating politicians from places such as California and Illinois. And let's see, how many others are there? We've got Pennsylvania in there. We've got New Jersey in there. We've got New York in there. What about this Kathy McCarthy? She runs and operates on a single anti-gun platform. That's what we're up against. Stick around. More rants, raves, and lunacy about these just buttheads when we come back. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, back on it. By the way, a little bit of, a caveat to this whole thing in Toledo. They're losing cops. Okay, so the judges there are now going to be forced to drop charges against people that the cops arrested, these 75 cops arrested, unless there's someone else that can testify. For some reason or other, they don't believe that they can call a cop in to testify why he arrested someone. So for whatever reason, these judges are going to allow these people that were arrested back on the streets because the cops got laid off? I don't totally get that, but that's something that's also happening in Toledo. So everyone in Toledo, best of luck. Okay, just best of luck. Putting your trust into your government, into doing things such as having a safe place to live, has absolutely fallen apart. They have failed you miserably. The judges now believe that they can't send a subpoena to a cop who arrested somebody, even though it's part of their job. And if nothing else, the police department should create some sort of fund, maybe, you know, steal some kids' lunch money or something to pay these cops a few bucks so they can go in there and testify with the time that they've got invested in the court. But evidently not. So there's a number of people that were arrested that are now not going to be tried because the judges there believe in the, I think it's nine different departments of the city, between misdemeanor, gross misdemeanor, and felony cases, they don't believe that they can actually do anything about getting the cops there to prosecute these people for the crimes in which they're arrested. Lovely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. We hit on it earlier about the profiling going on in Washington, D.C., specifically at the Department of Homeland Security. All right? The Department of Homeland Security has put out a couple of reports that have done nothing but profile essentially everybody in America, pardon me, as someone who could be a threat to the United States government. Well, guess what? The United States government is always supposed to be under threat from the people. Read the Constitution. The government are the servants. We, the people, are the masters. In the moment that you forget that, when you decide, you raise your hand in the air and say, I'd like to be elected to be a servant. I would like to have the honor of being a servant. Once you do that, and you then figure that you are the master and we are the servants, well, you're done. You're done, buddy. You're done, lady. You're done, whoever the heck you are. And Janet Napolitano is done like dinner. Stick a fork in her, because we need to get her fat can out of the DHS. Listen to this. Because of the DHS report that came out, right? The right-wing extremists. A Louisiana driver, I should say Louisiana, that's the proper pronunciation. A Louisiana driver was stopped and detained for this act, having a Don't Tread on Me bumper sticker on the rear bumper of his vehicle. And warned by a police officer about the subversive message it sent, according to the driver's relative who did an interview. Don't tread on me. That's the one coiled up with a rattlesnake, right? That's what he had. Now, this coiled rattlesnake, let me give you just a little history on that. The bumper sticker was based on this famous flag designed by American Revolution-era general and statesman Christopher Gadsden. I'm sorry, Gadsden. It was a yellow flag. It featured a coiled diamondback rattlesnake ready to strike with the slogan, Don't Tread on Me, underneath it. Benjamin Franklin helped make the rattlesnake a symbol of America's resistance to quarrel, but vigilance and resolve in defense of their rights, okay, which is what a rattlesnake will do. It's resistant to get into something, but it's poison ready if you really push. The rattlesnake is kind of drawing their line in the sand. By 1775, when Gadsden presented his flag to the commander-in-chief of the Navy, the rattlesnake was a symbol of the colonies and of their need to unite in defense of threats to their God-given and inherent rights. The flag and the bumper sticker symbolize American patriotism and the need to defend America's rights and resistance to tyranny and threats to American liberty. Those threats included illegal taxation, just usurping rights of the people who were colonized in the United States, and violation of the fundamental principles of American law. Now there's a cop in Louisiana that pulls a guy over because of this DHS report that says that's a subversive message. Now, that's about as American as it gets. About as American as it gets. Okay. Here's the thing. Carrying on with this story. I'm sorry. I got to get my head cleared. It's just amazing to me. I used to be a cop. I couldn't imagine possibly doing this, pulling somebody over for this. This situation developed in the small town of Ball, Louisiana, when a receptionist at the police department told WorldNet Daily, where this story comes from, she knew nothing about the traffic stop, during which a suspect was investigated for extremist activities, the relative said. The relative of the guy got pulled over. The man identifying himself as a police officer from Ball called WorldNet Daily later to report that the town's records of traffic stops did not include this situation. Imagine that. He suggested it might have involved one of several other agencies that worked in the area. Okay, sure. The following, it was followed by only a few weeks of the DHS report, Right-Wing Extremism, Current Economic and Political Climate Fueling Resurgence and Radicalization and Recruitment, which prompted outrage from legislators, and they had a campaign calling for the resignation of DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano. She should be outright fired and thrown out on her big tubby butt. She should be thrown out in sheer embarrassment of somebody who has no idea how to do their job in D.C. The report, which cites cites individuals who sport certain bumper stickers on their vehicles as suspects, was delivered to tens of thousands of local law enforcement officers across the nation. However, the situation was described on the American Vision blog. Listen to this. According to the relative, it happened this way. Her brother-in-law was driving home from work in the town, which has a local reputation for enhancing its budget by ticketing speeders. He was pulled over by a police officer who told him he had a subversive survivalist bumper sticker on his car. They proceeded to keep him there on the side of the road while they ran whatever they do to see if you have a record, keeping him standing by the side of the road for 30 minutes. Finding no record and no reason to keep him, they warned him and eventually let him go, warned him about his bumper sticker. You know, you have no idea the type of bumper stickers that people are allowed to put on their car. It's a First Amendment right. As long as it doesn't say something along the lines of, I am going to kill the next person that I see when I get out of my car. Or, I support, you know, the nuclear bomb in my trunk. Something like that. As long as you don't have something ridiculous like that on your car, you can put, it's almost carte blanche. And don't tread on me is a symbol of American patriotism and what we went through to become the United States of America. There's a company that sells this bumper sticker, if you're interested, called the Patriot Depot, where Chief Operating Officer Jay Taylor told WorldNet Daily the woman had told his staff about the situation while ordering more bumper stickers. So go on there and do a search for the Patriot Depot. It's probably patriotdepot.com or something. And order yourself up some Don't Tread on Me bumper stickers and spread the wealth. It's rather shocking, he said. We supposedly have we have freedom of speech in our country. We joke around every now and then how our spouses will come to visit us in jail, he continued, citing his products that say, the audacity of nope, taxation enough already. Born free, taxed to death. Bring home our troops, send the Democrats, and I'll keep my guns and money, you keep the change. Obviously referring to Obama's campaign of change. We have people realize this is serious. Or we hope people realize this is serious, he says. American Vision noted that the background check that was done on the driver, they say why? He had purchased and displayed a conservative Don't Tread on Me bumper sticker. What's the problem with that? The notorious Department of Homeland Security memo, which has apparently been based on the infamous Missouri State Police report that describes supporters of presidential candidates Bob Barr, Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin as militia-type people, potential extremists, and potential terrorists, is not the first effort on leftist radicals to slander their political opponents as extremists. Imagine that. Liberals and other less leftists have been calling defenders of the traditional Americans just way of life. And they hate the idea of these traditional Americans' limited constitutional government idea. They don't like the idea of a free enterprise, individual liberty. Right? Jeez. They've been doing, so calling Americans like this extremists, at least since the 1964 elections. And now here we are, 2009, and they're actually doing it. They're actually putting, they're high enough up in the government, they're putting out reports profiling conservative Americans, conservative, flag-loving, nation-loving Americans, because they are flag-hating, nation-hating, socialist scumbags in D.C. Imagine that. Unreal. Small-town police misled by phony left-wing reports are bad enough. Federal government agencies and their armed agents under the direction of leftist radicals are exponentially worse. WorldNet Daily reported earlier on the DHS report, which advised about the extremism that could be expected from returning veterans, those who support homeschooling, oppose abortion, post certain bumper stickers on their vehicles, and other factors. The DHS not only issued that report, but also an earlier memo defining dozens of groups, members of animal rights organizations, black separatists, tax protesters, and others as quote-unquote threats. That item, the domestic extremism lexicon, reportedly was rescinded almost immediately. However, I happen to have a copy of it. It also came off of, let's see, a site called The Daily Beast. A guy named Benjamin, Starlin, posted it on The Daily Beast. He obtained a copy. It's in a PDF format. It is dated March 26, 2009. It defines the tax resistance movement, also referred to in the report as tax protest movement or the tax freedom movement, actually what it's technically known as, the tax honesty movement. Just listen to Dave Champion talk about that. He's on RBN at 3 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. So all these people who really want to know the truth about taxes, as groups or individuals who vehemently believe taxes violate their constitutional rights, among their beliefs are that wages are not income, that paying taxes is voluntary, and that the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which allowed Congress to levy taxes on income, was not properly ratified. All of which, actually, Janet Napolitano, is completely true. It's all completely true. And more so, when the Supreme Court of the United States, when they rule on things such as taxes, it quite readily defines all that information. So, here we are. They're profiling all of us. And what keeps the government at bay? Your guns and mine. That's what keeps them at bay. But I got to tell you, owning guns doesn't do any good at all if you don't know how to use guns. You need to get trained up on guns. Now, I have a neighbor. He's a guy that owns a house on my cul-de-sac. And he lives out of town. He lives in another state. And he comes in every now and again, once or twice a month, spends a weekend. He lives, you know, several hours away. He comes in, spends the weekend, does a lot of outdoorsy fun stuff. The guy's a former cop. He hasn't been a cop for years. And he goes out one day over the weekend, I think Saturday, did some shooting, came over to my house Saturday afternoon. We were talking and yucking it up and having a good time. And he shows me how kind of bruised up he is on his arm and on his shoulder. And he said, that's from shooting. I'm like, wow, what were you shooting? He says, you know, a couple of rifles, a couple of shotguns. I said, you don't know how to hold the gun properly. Oh, come on. I've been shooting for a long time. That doesn't mean that you know how to hold a gun properly. I was a cop. Doesn't mean you know how to hold a gun properly. I am one, Bill Carnes, I am one of maybe a couple dozen qualified five weapons range masters in the free world. There are very, very few people that are able to teach you from the very basics all the way up to high-end tactics, individual and team, in the following: handgun, shotgun, rifle, submachine gun, and precision rifle, also known as designated marksman or sniper. There's maybe two dozen of us in the free world that have that amount of ability. I'm one of them, all right? So here my neighbor's saying, are you sure you know what you're talking about? As I'm telling him how to position this rifle. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, man. Here you go. So I hand him one of my rifles. He starts mounting. Oh, yeah, that feels pretty good. So I grab the fore end of the gun and push it into his shoulder sharply a few times to simulate recoil. I said, now, are you going to bruise from that? And he said, no, there's no way. I said, good. Now, go shooting again next time and remember this. Keep the gun higher. Do this. Blah, blah, blah. Went through the whole deal. So a guy that knows about guns, owns guns, used to carry a gun for a living, still carries a gun now, didn't know how to shoot a long gun properly. So you've got to go out and learn properly how to shoot a gun, all right? I cannot give testimonies about everybody in the world that teaches guns. I don't know how they are. But you know what I probably should do is I should probably post some questions that you can ask people that put classes up there to see how their answers are. And if their answers jive, they probably know what they're talking about. The only thing is all they'd have to do is go online and look at the questions and then be able to prepare for those answers. Just to get your money, unscrupulously, might I add. Okay. Now that we've talked about what the government's doing and how we're keeping them at bay, guys, that's owning guns and knowing how to use guns. That's the only thing keeping them at bay. If we turn a blind eye on Capitol Hill or the administration for even a mere moment, they're going to pass a law, ratify a treaty, sign an executive order, something like that to curb our gun rights. We cannot allow that to happen. Matter of fact, we need to get some that have been taken away before back. Stay with me. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio. We'll be back after the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back. Now, here's a little tidbit of information, and I always find this stuff just funny in a manner of, not ha-ha, but funny in a manner of shame. Okay, two off-duty cops charged with shooting up Lake Allatoona in Georgia. Two off-duty Atlanta Police Department officers were arrested a week ago, Monday morning, in Cherokee County, charged with reckless conduct for shooting dozens of bullets into Lake Allatoona. Around 1 a.m., Cherokee Police 911 received several calls complaining about the gunfire. Deputies were dispatched to the Allatoona shoreline, and one reported a bullet landed just 15 feet away from where he stood, said Cherokee Sheriff's Office spokesman Jay Baker. There were people fishing in the area at the time. Now, really? There's people fishing at 1 a.m.? That sounds kind of odd. The shots were traced to the Cedar Drive home of Atlanta Police Officer Dan Rasmussen, 43. Fellow cop Chad Armstrong, 31, was also charged, as was Rasmussen's wife, Toni Rasmussen, 43. Baker said she was charged with obstruction after failing to comply with Cherokee deputies. A fourth man, Robert Terza, 22, was also charged with reckless conduct. Deputy seized 10 firearms from the Rasmussen home. Rasmussen and Armstrong have been suspended with pay by the Atlanta Police Department. Internal affairs officers were dispatched to the scene Monday afternoon, Baker said. All the suspects were released on bond. So here's some Atlanta cops up late, probably drunk, taking guns and shooting them into the lake. Woohoo! Bullets into water. You got to be kidding me. Were you guys brewing moonshine at the same time? What kind of knuckleheads do this? Knuckleheads with a badge, evidently. Knuckleheads with a badge that figure because I'm a cop, I should be able to get away with it. I got a little story for you. Right here in Southern Nevada, when I was a Las Vegas Metro cop. Now, Las Vegas Metro does the city of Las Vegas and unincorporated Clark County. In Clark County, there are also North Las Vegas Police, Henderson Police, let's see, Mesquite Police. There's little towns and cities that have their own police. Boulder City has their own police department. The chief of police in North Las Vegas was driving home drunk. Metro cops pulled this car over, find out that the drunk guy driving it was the chief of police. So they tried to talk to the guy. He was totally belligerent because he was chief of police. He shouldn't have been stopped. They called their sergeant. He was belligerent to the sergeant. They called the watch commander. The watch commander went through the chain of command, got the sheriff of Clark County on the phone and said, what do we do? And what did the sheriff say? He said, arrest him. If the guy's driving drunk, give him a blow test, take him in. If he's over the legal limit, bleed him and send him on the ways and take a blood sample. Imagine. All right, guys, thanks for staying with me today. I really appreciate it. In closing, I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thank you for spending your day with me. You can reach me at 2aradio.com.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.